this is so you continued. I can teach anybody that could, that want to make Kamigra or Sivukaliki, that I could make patterns for them. And teach them how to make mukluks. I can sew them very well right now, but I can do them. I can show people that want to sew that kind of mukluk. It's better for us to try to sew things what these people want to sew, what these people want to see from these men could make kayutaks, what we used to eat kayuk with, and these women sew what these young people like to see, what they never see before. But I want to tell you, encourage you to make things too, and what these young people can learn. Long ago they used to dry ugruk throat for a kupak, but today we never see anymore that kind of leather. What we used to use. There used to be lots of nalok too hanging, but we don't see it hanging anymore here in Kotzebue. But those Kivalina people and those Shishmaref people make those skins. Even if they're high, we always buy them now, because we never make them here anymore. We used to make many of those kind of skins. Elwood Honeycutt from Kotzebue. Here in Kotzebue, we've been talking about hunting from the ocean. This is part of what women always hunt for the women to sow. When they hunt ugruk, they go to camp in the springtime, get a little sleep, and go hunting ugruk, but they never leave no ugruk down in the ocean. They have to bring them. They have to bring the ugruks back when they go down. If they leave the ugruks down there, they won't find them because the ice is instantly moving. When the ice is opening in the edge of the, they always use kayak and go hunting little, hunting seals. It's dangerous, not really dangerous, but the ice is moving and it can shut anybody in if the ice is moving, if they never find no way. A person's got to know, have the skill to go hunting down there, because they don't know when the ice is closing in. That's why they always hardly ever sleep when they go hunting out in the ice. When it's time to go with kayak, they always go hunt with ugruk. And when they get to ugruk, when there's two of them, even if there's lots of ugruks there, they always get only two ugruks, even though there's some other ugruks to shoot, because if they don't get them, they'll leave. There's no way to carry them home, because they have only one kayak.
Ugruk, he works it so he blows air into the ugruk, including its flippers and hands, and then he ties them together to the side of his kayak.
Mm-hmm.
and he ties them tight onto the kayak on either side. Our old folks didn't have an easy time with their hunting. When they leave home, they see the land very far, and he paddles as hard as he can, and sometimes the current carries him away. And when he reaches land, then he pulls the sled along the beach and finally goes on home. It's hard work. Hunting Ugruk today is not like how our elders of long ago hunted Ugruk. If we don't cut up the Ugruk right away, the meat starts to become not fit for eating, so we usually take it right home and have the women cut it up. And soon as they take it home, they take it right up to the cutting spot where the women cut it up. And then it's the women's job to cut it up. The only time the women then work on it again is when they stretch it out on the ground to dry it. The way that we hunt today is not like how our forefathers hunt. When we decide to hunt, we get our spears ready so that the rope doesn't break. The Ugruk can break the rope right away if it's not strong enough. I usually have about 40 feet of rope. He's describing how they do today when they get an Ugruk, how they split open the tummy to take the inner organs out and take the gut and liver and stuff and put them away and then once they clean the innards out like that, then it lasts longer, it doesn't spoil right away. And when they tie them to the boat and get them home, and if they keep them too long, then they lose their hair at that time. But so they try to get them home early. They hunt the bearded seal, the hair seal, the baby seal, the spotted seal, the ribbon seal, and each one is dried all by itself. And then the women clean the skins very clean and make clothes out of them. Our travel is not like ancient times. We just sit down or stand up and we're at a long distance in a hurry. We have motors in our boats. But the older generations either rode their boat or put a sail. Their travel was difficult and hard. Our ice breaks up and goes away, and the last part is broken ice that goes out, the last of the ice, and it's difficult to travel on it. When we're out on the ice, we have to really watch and be observant and hunt so that people will have oil and food and muckluck bottoms and rawhide and all that stuff. When I've been out hunting, even if I'd had a very tough time, and I go home and bring the seals home, I never say anything. I just stay home and rest. Sometimes the sea is very rough and almost wrecked, but when we remember what the elders have told us in past time, what to do, then we're usually come back home safely. He's discussing having fire out where there's no wood out on the ice, and how to have fire out there. We cut a 5-gallon can in half. And have wood to burn and cover it with blubber. We get a good fire going, but there's a lot of smoke to it, like a big ship that you can cook on it and you can cook on it and make coffee. Our implements and our supplies are so easy today that we don't have a hard time like our forefathers did, and so our hunting is not as hard. We have it very easy, and we don't really know how they did it anymore. In our land, we have cold weather, and our preoccupation is how to keep warm. When we're out traveling and our matches are wet and we don't have a lighter and we need to make fire, And there's nothing to make fire with. There's wood and other things, all right. When we reach that situation, at that time, then we usually put gas on cloth. Then we shoot the rifle over that rag and it catches fire because there's spark from there. If your rifle is too far away, there is no ignition. But if the rifle is right there, then there is instant ignition. We talk about these things so our future generations can know about them. The preoccupation of men is to always go out and hunt and to get the skins and furs so that the women will have materials to make the beautiful clothes and warm parkas that the women make. When a person is leaving some meat that he's unable to take home, they usually dig into the tundra big enough to put all the meat in there, and then they cover it with the sod and rocks and whatever to make it secure, that the wolverine and wolf and other animals are not able to get it. And when the tundra, the sod, is frozen over it, it makes it difficult for the animals to get at it. And so then it's safe for the people to return to pick up their cache of meat at a later date.
York Wilson. Yeah. How to store meat, York Wilson. Long ago, when there was first caribou. Yeah. When I first get caribou in the summertime, it was in Kivalina. I couldn't carry it because there was some caribou reindeer. Out on the flat, I didn't know what to do. I looked for a place to put it. On a flat, I looked around where it was flat, and I looked for a place where to put it in the deep place. I was going to put that. It was shallow, so I dig off the top of it and put the caribou bowl after I spill it, and I cover it with, I put it away in that pit. It was in November, in Kivalina. In Kivalina, I go open that when Polly Green, my mama, and I were going to go we wanted to go trapping fox, mink, and I went over to check that meat so we could put it in for dog feed if it was no good to eat. So when we opened it, it was all there. Wolverine and fox didn't eat it. So I started to use axe and pull the top mud surface off, and when we put it there, I took the caribou home. That caribou meat was still good to eat when we was flooding down Kivalina. It didn't spoil, so we had that meat only for meat all this time when it was flooded. This was how those people put meat away too in July. They put four caribou in the where the sun wouldn't get to it, where the sun wouldn't shine it. When they opened that caribou, it was still, it turned white, but it was just like meat after you put vinegar in the meat, and it was still good to eat when they opened it. It was dark, real good, and it was still good to eat. This is how to make drinking water if there's no water. Another subject. This is what I told to those. I went to the lake. We was real thirsty, but we start to go too late, and we get wood and make the ice little hole in it, and I wanted to make fire. I made a fire on the ice. So I made a fire where we could melt the ice. After we made the fire, we cleaned that ice and water. We started to drink the water, clean it up in that water. That's what we learned, to drink water. This is how to make water on the ice lake. You dig a little bit and make a fire. Fire and clean it off and drink the water there. Another thing old people used to tell me, if I'm out on the ice and there's no water, these old people used to tell me to take the legs off, flippers off, and take the bones off and put snow in that flipper. And they told me to put snow in the flippers, tie it, and put it in my water. So it could just, you keep it there and you get water, and that snow always melt and there's water. In the seal flippers, take the bones off and put snow in it. That's how you can make water after you turn it inside out. And another thing about one there's what is said too, that one man was cutting trees, chop it and melt the water in that wood and drink too. Long ago, when there was no guns, they used to make a net about 4x4 and put it in the seal hole on the ice and set it up on the ice where the seal always breathe. And they always make sticks to put to hold the edges of the net, also they could, so it'll hang on to that, and then push the net inward in the hole so it could hang on the edges of the net. There was a man too from Notak that went down and set a net same way as how I told them. After they set the net, they put that pipe thing, that last part that is stink, and scare the seal. And when they scare the seal, it always tupuk and do anything and make all kinds of rattle, and he is caught in the net. About making kayak skin, they used to use seal skins for kayaks. And they always put them in hot water and some of them in seal oil. But this taking the hair off in hot water called mukhluk, they never stay longer than the ones that they uti regularly. So that's why the uti kind is stronger. The tail part, this is what kayak, this is kayak skin. Kayak skin, they use the tail for ugruk, I mean salmon berries barrel. So that's a good way to store salmon berries too into